we continue our series on our purpose statement. And as we've said, we've shifted our focus to the sharing God's love part of our purpose statement. And I have to confess that I have been like racking my brain for how to preach this sermon to you on God's love. Now, you would think that God's love would be one of the easiest topics to talk about, right? You know, you think it'd be one of the most simple things, but actually, it's so transcendent, it's so amazing, I don't even know if I can adequately explain it to you. And all of you have heard it so many times that I'm worried it's not even going to come across correctly. The scriptures say that love, that God's love, surpasses our knowledge. We're not even able to rationalize it. We're not even able to conceptualize it. It's that good. And so Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he crafts a prayer to help the church pray for God's help in understanding his love. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes we need God's help even to understand his love. So before I say anything else today, I want us to pray this prayer together because we're going to need God's help in understanding the majesty of this text and this message. So let's pray this together. Father, maker of heaven and earth, we pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we would be rooted and established in love, so that we may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm really praying the Lord answers that prayer. Because if you don't understand, if you don't receive the love of God in your heart, we're always going to be looking for it in all the wrong places. How many of you have done that? I've done that in my own life. I've looked for love in all the wrong places. I've looked for it in trying to be liked by people. I've looked for it in popularity. I've looked for it in girls or lust. I've looked for it in trying to get the approval from my parents or from other people. You see, most of us, we spend our lives looking to be loved. We try to find it in all of these things, our parents, our friends, other people around us, our pursuits in life. And usually we end up realizing that none of these things can fully satisfy the longing that God has put in the human heart. And the only one who can know you fully and completely in all of our weaknesses and all of our sins and in every way that we truly are and can still love us completely is God himself. Because he's the only one who knows us to that extent. And he's the only one who can love us to that extent. And so if this is something that we're going to share with the world, if this is our mission to share this love, we better make sure that we understand what it is, at least a little bit, ourselves, right? And so I want to ask today, what does it mean that God loves us? What does that really mean? And how do we know that it's true? How do we experience it? You know, we sing it every Sunday as the kids come up. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I want to ask us today, do we really know? Do you really believe that Jesus loves you individually, personally, with all the depth of his being and heart? Do you know it? Do you experience? And I want to help you understand it more today. And I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at a passage that talks about God's love. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through 19. It's fairly lengthy, so follow along. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And if you needed a phrase to sum up the Apostle John's thinking in this whole letter, it's that verse right there. We love because he first loved us. So what does that mean? How do we know? And what ways has God shown us his love? In what ways has he expressed his love towards his people? And today I want to give you four things from this text. Four different ways that God has expressed and has shown his love to us. And the first is this. God loves us as a loving father. God loves us as a loving father. Verse 9 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, as I was meditating on this passage, as you know, I'm going to have to apologize for all of my baby illustrations you're probably going to be hearing. But I'm a new father. Daisy's 6 months old. And I have to tell you, it is the most incredible thing to be a father. You love your kids. They are so dear. They are so amazing. They delight your heart so much. I remember very acutely when my mom dropped me off at college for my freshman year. And they had this big day. I went to Bethel College, small Christian college in Indiana. They had this big day where the parents would come, drop you off, move you into your dorm room, and they had a meal together, then a worship service, and then the whole freshman class gathered around the college pond. And then the parents had an opportunity to pray over their kids right before they left. And after the prayer was over, I look at my mom and I see tears coming down her face. And being the loving son I am, I turn to my mom and say, "Mom, I'm only going to be 45 minutes away. You can come see me anytime you want." And, in that moment, I realized my mom had a deep love, and I didn't fully understand it then. And maybe now that I'm a father, I understand it a little more. And some of you parents have had that experience of dropping your kids off to school for the first time. Or some of you have literally dropped off your kids to college for the first time. And I can imagine it feels like giving up a part of your very self, because they're so near and so precious to you. And I can only imagine that God the Father, his beloved and only Son, for him to knowingly send him on a mission to save the world, knowing that his beloved Son would experience much rejection, would experience much suffering, and would undergo a brutal death, all so that we could be saved from our sin and from the powers of darkness, so that we could be with God. That's an amazing love. What other parent would be willing to do such a thing? I believe it's only God the Father has that kind of love, because he will do whatever it takes to save his children. And it's even more amazing because John continues in verse 10. He says this, "Not that we love God. Not that we loved God." You see, God did this knowing Jesus would be rejected. He sent his Son knowing that the people who would accept this message would inevitably fail in sin again and again and go their own way. So it's not that our goodness motivated God to love us. It's not that our own holiness or performance motivated God to come down. It's no, the scriptures say, while we were still sinners. While we were yet enemies of God, going our own way, going our own path, God sent his Son So God's love isn't based on our own goodness. It's not based on your beauty or your popularity or your performance. It's based on the fact that God in his nature is a loving Father. A loving Father who loves us dearly, who loves you dearly. He has loved us. He has loved you from the moment that you were born. From the moment that you were conceived, he has loved you with an everlasting love. And the passage continues, says, he loved us enough to even save us from that sin that separated us from him. Verse 14, he sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. You see, we were born into a world. When John uses the word world, he means the sphere that is against God. The sphere that is under the power of darkness, where people go their own way against God. And we all know the famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the scriptures teach us that God wants all to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he sent his Son. And I think some of us, depending on your church background or where you've come from or things you've heard, maybe you've been given the image of a God who just can't wait to punish you. Maybe you've been given the image of a God who just sees all your faults, just sees all the things that are wrong with you. And I'm here to tell you that it's not the case. Maybe you've heard of a God who just can't wait to send certain people to hell. That's not the case. He wants everyone to be saved. The truth is, he can't wait to forgive you. He can't wait to lavish his love on you. He can't wait to pour out his mercy upon you because you are his children. He can't wait to love you. He can't wait to forgive you. He wants all to come to know his Son Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. God loves us as a loving Father. Number two, God loves us through the love of the Son. God loves us through the love of the Son. Verse 17 is really amazing. He's talking to the church and he says, our love is made complete. We know our love is made complete because of this. In this world, we are like Jesus. So in other words, he's saying, this love that we have this in the community, this love that we're supposed to have for each other, we know it's fine. We're finally getting it right when we look like Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the full expression of love. God's expression of love to the world. Not just in his death, but also the whole life that he lived was a life of love. He was the eternal Son of God, the King of Kings. Yet he came down here and he said, I came not to be served by you, but I'm here to serve you. I'm here to give my life as a ransom for many. What love is that? We've heard John 3:16 and we know that, but do we know 1 John 3:16? In the same letter, he says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You see, it's not just that, you know, we have the analogy of God the Father giving up his Son. We know that very well. But we also have to remember that we worship the triune God, that God is one. So in the same, we can say in the same sentence that the Father gave up the Son, but yet we can say in the same sentence here, the same frame, that God was in Jesus giving up himself. That God was crucified on the cross. That God came and gave up his life. God with us, Emmanuel, right? God was with us. He came and died upon the cross. He laid down his life. There's a story of a man named William Dixon, and he lived in England. And at a young age, he lost his wife, and he lost his one and only son. And one day, there is a fire in his community. One of his neighbor's houses caught on fire. And the fire department was able to save the grandmother, the aged grandmother who lived in the house, who was taking care of her orphaned grandson. But they were not able to go into the house and save him for some reason, but William Dixon noticed. And so he sprang into action, and he climbed up an iron pipe to get into the house. And he was able to find the boy and lower him down into safety. But in the process, that iron pipe that he used to climb up was burning hot. And he suffered severe burns on his hands. Shortly after William Dixon saved this boy, The grandmother, probably from the stress of it all, she passed away, leaving this orphan grandson with no parents, with no guardian. And so the townspeople called a meeting, and they're wondering who is going to care for this boy. And two people came to volunteer. One was another man who had also lost his only son, and him and his wife wanted to adopt this boy and take care of them. And so the townspeople said, you know, this makes a lot of sense because, you know, this boy needs a mother and a father, and that's good for them, and so this might be a good option. The second person to volunteer was William Dixon. And when he came to present his argument for why he should be able to adopt the boy, he didn't say anything. All he did was hold up his hand. When the townspeople voted, they said, William Dixon gets this boy. You see, love is made complete. Love comes to its fullest expression when it's self-sacrificing, when it's sacrificing yourself for the sake of another. And is that not what Jesus did? If you remember, would you remember that old story with me? He was arrested at night. He was beaten. He was whipped repeatedly. He was flogged by the authorities. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. And as he carried that large wooden cross, he was about to be crucified by the very people he was trying to save. And they forcibly took him and nailed his feet and nailed his wrists to that wooden cross. And there he was, arms wide open, bleeding, his heart and lungs exposed, but his love open to all. This is what Jesus did for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be loved. And he raises his hands and says, you're mine. I have loved you. I have given myself for you. Can you see it? Can you see Jesus there for you? Can you see him on the cross saying, you are mine? God loves us through the Son. God loves us through the Father. God loves us through the Son. And number three, God loves us through the presence of the Spirit. Verse 13 in this passage, he says, he has given us his Spirit. And this is amazing because from the foundation of the world, God has wanted his presence, his Spirit, to dwell with mankind. That's where we see in the garden, isn't it? He's walking in the cool of day with Adam and Eve. But when sin enters the world, God's presence cannot fully dwell with sin. So he goes on a mission to restore his presence to his people. So he sets up this temple and sacrificial system where sin is atoned for, and a space is opened up where God's presence can again dwell with the people. Now listen to this. In the same way, Jesus is a sacrifice for sins, not just so that our penalty is paid for, yes, but also so that a space is opened up, so that his presence can dwell right in us. We are the new temple of the Holy Spirit. God's presence with us. And to me, this means that God doesn't just love you because that's his nature and he has to. He loves us because he actually wants to be with us. He wants his presence to be in us closer than you can imagine. This means that God, I believe, he actually likes you. You believe that? He actually delights in you. He loves you for who you are. He wants to spend time with you. He thinks the world of you, and he can't wait to be with you forever and ever. So my message to you today is, will you stop hating yourself because God loves you so dearly? Would you stop condemning yourself so often because God loves you so dearly? Would you stop thinking of yourself as maybe worthless or of little value because the eternal God, our Father, Son, and Spirit, loves you and wants to be with you? Would you stop thinking of yourself as so unlovable? Because you are loved by the King of the universe. You are cherished by God, and he wants his presence with you. One of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, he said, the Son and the Spirit are the hands of God, or the arms of the Father, drawing the world in. Can you see that? Can you see the triune God drawing you in through the Son and the Spirit into his life? So we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And lastly today, God loves us through the love of his family. God loves us through the love of his family. And by family, I mean the church. I mean the body of Christ. Verse 12 in this passage is amazing. It says, "No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." So what's John saying? He's saying, hey, God's invisible. If you didn't know it, God's invisible. You can't see him. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, we might catch a glimpse of his love in action. Because God is love. All love in the world, especially in the church, all love comes from God. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, the first fruit he produces in Galatians is love. And so when you see the members of your church, when you see your brothers and sisters in Christ loving you, you should count it as God's love towards you because it's from him. He is the one that makes it possible. John Stott says this, "The unseen God, who once revealed himself in his Son, now reveals himself in his people, if and when they love one another. God's love is seen in their love, the church, because their love is his love, imparted to them by his Spirit." Do you see that? Do you see how that works? So we see God's love when we are in the community of Christ. We see God's love when a church invites communities of refugees from Burma and Myanmar, from Liberia, to worship in their church. We see God's love in action when our mental health ministry takes care of those going through rough times, through depression, through loss. We see the love of God when meals are being given to new parents. We see the love of God when the church throws receptions for people who leave or retire or who join the church. We see the love of God when people pack Operation Christmas Child boxes and send them to kids around the world. We see the love of God when you show up to somebody's house who just moved into a new place and you help them get acclimated to a new school and to a new area. You see the love of God when you see adults spending time with kids and students on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, just for love's sake. You see it when people show up to pray for people by name because they care about the church. And you see the love of God when you see people showing up on Sunday morning, even when you don't feel like it, because you want to bless other people and be with the body of Christ. So that's how we see the love of God, folks. We see it in our loving Father. We see it in Jesus Christ giving his life. We see it in God sending his Spirit to dwell with us and then putting us in a family who will love and take care of us. Isn't that amazing love? Now this morning I want to close with some thoughts. I want to close with some, I'm going to invite Barb to come up, wherever Barb is. There, thank you, Barb. And I have some scripture verses. These are all from the Bible. And I'm going to read them to you, and they're put in the first person. And so the goal with this is to help you understand the heart of the Father, the heart of God. Okay, so what I invite you to do, Barb's just going to play just some meditative kind of music to help you relax. And I'm going to read this, and I just want you to close your eyes and hear the heart of God in this. My child, you may not know me or know me well as you would like, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. You were made in my image and likeness. And in me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. You are not a mistake, but you are my precious creation. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. I am often misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant. I am not easily angered. But I am the complete expression of love, full of grace and compassion. And it's my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your Father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect Father. Whether you know it or not, every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'll take away all the pain that you have suffered on this earth. Because I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you and not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins against you, but I want to be reconciled with you. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love. Come home to me, and I'll throw you the biggest party heaven has ever seen. Heaven and angels will rejoice, and I will come running to meet you. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to receive those truthful words this morning, to receive the love that you have for us. And may we respond, Lord, with love back to you. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.